Oh my God, I love seeing you guys on here talking before me. I like showing up a couple of minutes late because I get to experience this and how y'all are connecting and what's coming through. So it's wonderful to see y'all.
Good to see you.
So thank
Great
you.
to.
Deborah, Eileen, Carlotta, hello.
Hi.
Donna, Lori, Guyana, hello. Alyssa,
Hi.
hello. Tara, Judy, Jen, Kathy.
Hi.
Hello. Oh my goodness. You guys are amazing. It's so wonderful to be here.
Oh,
I'm trying to feel into where we're going today. I'm trying to feel where we're going, and it still is. Did everybody listen to last week's call or get a chance to tune in a little bit? So everybody's saying yes. So I'm going to get into context in that because it feels like it's just this ongoing circulation of that void energy and where it's taking us to. And we don't have to know. And it could have been maybe destabilizing in ways that being in that still space can put us in. But even in the still space and the not knowing, Rabia, hello, good to see you. In the still space and the not knowing, have y'all felt, and again, I'm asking your experience, have y'all felt that even in that there's been like a forward movement or your body is less tense about it and there's just perhaps a flow that's taken place, even though you don't have to define what that flow is? I'm curious. I'm curious how that's coming up for you. And if it is, those of you who shook your head yes, I'd love you to speak up about it and share your experience because I can share my experiences. But in this group, as y'all share with one another and with me also, we expand the field, expand the possibility, and get a different perspective that I think will help all of us coming in. So, Deborah, did you have something? You raise your hand. Yeah, please.
It almost feels like a molten lava of movement inside an incredibly still and stuck crust. And so, like even on the beginning of the call, like as we each came on, I could feel the joy and the excitement and almost like an apprehension for something coming. But it's like it's not quite in form yet. And so there's like hints of form, but it still feels wobbly in the stillness.
It feels wobbly in the stillness, and I think that's a great way of describing it. Thank you. Because again, I think you're putting words and energy to what a lot of us are experiencing. And I have to give credit where things are moving also. Can I share a little bit of your experience without getting too much into detail, Deborah? And
Sure.
again, I'll be very generic about it. But Deborah reached out to me, and we had worked privately for a few months. And there was a follow-up of a follow-up that we were going to do, and it finally landed. And the energy of moving beyond a certain aspect of a dynamic that kept repeating itself, kept showing up. And she knew it's like, no, I can't, but I'm kind of drawn in and I don't know, and I don't want to let it go, but I do want to let go and all that. And you made a choice a couple of weeks ago, and it just landed so strongly for you. But in that, didn't you feel something opening up?
There was actually an after ripple effect. It was like I knew that there was a split second moment in time to take the courage to make a phone call to set a boundary that was going to be extremely painful, which it was. And so I surrendered into that for like 3 days. And then I could begin to feel the shift into it was a peace point, and there was like the beginning of a sense of power. Like all the shifts were so subtle, and then it would gyrate through all those. But I would notice that the points of power that were coming in, like you said, John, landed in a way that was very grounded and really strong. Like there's a strength in me, as you had anticipated. That's coming through in a brand new way. I will say that setting some boundaries has occurred in a harsh manner sometimes for me. Like what feels really harsh to me may not be harsh to the other person. But that's an uncomfortability that I'm learning to deal with as my pendulum is swinging back to center.
You bring up a couple of really interesting components that I want to go a little bit deeper into. So I want to get into the pendulum swing and your boundaries, but remind me this, because I may forget as I start going somewhere else. So someone hold that for me as we go to this first space. But you said that you knew it was going to be hard for you, and that it was. Was it hard for you when you're in the action of it, or was it hard for you as you were anticipating formulating that boundary, or formulating, I won't call it a boundary, a standard that you're choosing to have in your life?
Yes. And in the moment of decision, there was that space of power. And as I was actually, you know, speaking the words to this person and communicating, there was a strength there. Mm-hmm. And I could feel when I started to give my power away, because it didn't feel so good anymore. And so I had to take it back. And, you know, it's just so amazing watching all this happen simultaneously. And the other place that I lost power was when I went into projection of how I thought the other person might be feeling. However, all the guidance I've been getting is, no, that's my projection, how I would be feeling if I were they.
Thank you. Exactly. As an empath, it's your projection of what you're feeling of yourself and trying to make them feel better because it helps you feel better. But I love the uncomfortable part of it. So again, you put yourself out there, you had this conversation, you set a standard, and as you step back, you notice where you, as you put it, gave your power away. And I'll say gave yourself away. Mm-hmm. We call it power, but we give ourselves away. And so we accommodate, we empath others, we try to make them feel better, we try to nurture, we try to make sure they're okay, because we wouldn't want someone else hurting us in that way, supposedly. But again, it's okay to be uncomfortable. We want to see that discomfort as a gift of calibration. I'm uncomfortable. Where am I not in my integrity? And where is that wanting me to land back? I'm afraid to have a conversation. I'm afraid to speak my truth. I want to temper it for the sake of making sure they're okay. But I can tell you pretty much everyone on this phone call, you're already so empathic and so compassionate and so loving. That can you just understand that that's your baseline? And so what emanates from you is your truth and what you require as a standard of living and how you're treated and treat others and the relational dynamics that you engage with. It's only a path for clarity and more truth and more transparency that you're inviting, rather than hurting someone. And so your discomfort, they may have discomfort, but their discomfort's leading them to a balance in their own relational dynamics. And who are we to hold that, to try to save them from that, knowing that when we go through ours, it's functioning in a way that's helping our transformation, our growth, to land even further in our truth, where we've given our truth, our power, ourselves away for the sake of others, for the sake of safety, for the sake of comfort, for the sake of... I've experienced so much trauma and so much dysfunction, and I'm so tired that I just don't want to deal with it anymore. I just want to make it easy right now. If I can just make it easy for right now, maybe I'll be rested enough tomorrow to have that conversation or to go deeper into it or to show up. But you're still holding it within, and it's eating you up on the inside. It's affecting your health. It's affecting your vitality. It's affecting your other relationships that you really want to be in, that are nurturing to, because you're depositing so much energy into this one dynamic that you know is not serving you or the other. If it's not serving you, but it is serving the other, it's like, oh, hold on a second. Where am I giving up so much of myself for the sake of the other person? And if we're doing that, where am I not serving them? Because where am I not allowing them to be in their own discomfort or their own truth? Or in growing in a way that if you weren't around, how would they have to deal with those situations? Who would cook and clean for them? That was my mother's big thing for not leaving my father. He'll never survive. He'll never learn to cook and clean. He'll never feed himself. It's like, really? That's where you're staying? That was her story. Old school, but that's what it was. Had she left them, he would have had to grow up in a way that that never had to grow up in his 86 years of life. But you know, that was their dynamic, and blessings to them, and so much love, and they truly loved each other. But it came at the expense of a dynamic that was more discomfort than it was authentic living. And it's not for us to judge, but if you see a pathway into swimming in clearer waters, you're choosing that and transforming into that is only going to illuminate that for the other people in our lives as well. So we go from a very sovereign and interdependent relationship when we choose those pathways that are of the clearer tone, instead of going into the dynamics of codependency and very muddled, incoherent type of communication, all for the sake of safety and for the sake, again, not wanting to feel discomfort or change or having to face ourselves somehow. So it's beautiful in dynamics in the way that you described it, Deborah. What was the second thing that I said I was going to talk about? I told you I was going to forget.
Is balance in the pendulum.
Oh, the balance in the pendulum. I think I addressed it again. It's seeking the congruence. It's seeking, you know, being okay, actually inviting the discomfort. It's like, oh, wow, there's discomfort here. Well, where am I not speaking my truth? And where do I practice coming into, again, in an embodied mind process, again, going from the chaotic mind into the critical and aligned mind with the heart in our decision-making process, and then being willing to have the conversation from there? Because there's a danger of speaking our integrity at the moment for the sake of unloading it so that we don't have to carry it. And then people are receiving things that haven't necessarily processed through our psyche, haven't processed through the integration, the attunement of what's really flowing through us, but rather spur of the moment, spontaneous emotion, feeling, knowing that will spread out for the sake of relieving discomfort. So again, there's a balance and intelligence that's occurring in this void space, the centered being, the quite not knowing, and again, being in that volcanic type of dynamic, right? And the lava flowing within you, realizing that there's flow that's happening and it's slow and steady, and also recognizing things are shifting where you're perhaps daring to have a conversation that you weren't willing to have, that you're perhaps setting new standards for yourself that perhaps were a little more loosely based before or unidentified. And so we left that interpretation to others. And so they set the standard rather than us setting it. And then there's the aspect of us inviting not only our standards, but then inviting those standards to be met by the people in our lives, or the people that are yet to come into our lives as an energetic output of an etheric field that we put, that we emanate, to invite that congruent energy, that abundance, that creativity in a way that we hadn't before, because we've been holding on to this construct and this tight little box, and we've let a lot of that go. The void space is helping us to redefine it. There is forward movement. Acknowledge where you've been, what you've transformed within yourself, even if it's just the realizing that you want to transform something. Even that awareness is like, no, something is shifting, or I'm ready to shift something, or I know what that something is. Just the acknowledgement that there's a dynamic that is evolving within you is enough of a recognition to keep inviting that forward momentum to come in. So rather than I don't know where I'm going and I'm afraid, and I understand that we can have that. And I don't want to invalidate that, because even recognizing, again, the, God, I want to say in Spanish, inquietud, the restlessness. Funny, I want to go to Spanish. The restlessness of the trepidation. Even acknowledging that, it's like, wow, why am I afraid? Why am I restless? Why am I disheartened? And we've talked about this before. What is it that I want that I'm not getting it? And I'm not getting. What is it that I want that I'm not getting? And even that can be an impetus for forward movement. But we're identifying blind spots. We're letting go. I can't say we're letting go. It's letting go of us, because we're not holding the vibration anymore of the denser energies. So again, it's letting go of us, because you're vibrating at a different frequency. It can't hold on. It's a slippery slope for those energies. And if you can't identify with who you were, and you're not quite sure who you're going to be, who are you now? That's all you need to know. Who are you now? Right? Because all of those things are projections. And if you're projecting on that onto yourself, you're probably projecting that onto others. I'm going to define you as who you were. That doesn't work for me. Or I'm going to look at people. I'm going to define you as who I hope for you to be. And we get into illusion and escapism and maybe a lot of disappointment, because we're trying to control an outcome for another. But who are you now? And let me not define you as the other two, but let's be here. Let's meet each other in the middle. Because God, would you want to be identified as who you were last year? You've changed. You've grown. You're not the same person. And would you want to hold the responsibility of being accountable for who you're going to be when you can't even define that within yourself? Probably not. It could carry a lot of potential. But you don't have to define yourself as a one thing or the two things or the three things. I don't want to identify myself as a radio show host, as someone who leads groups on Mondays, as someone who's going to be on TV, as a father. I'm all those things and so much more. And so much more. So all I can tell you is that I'm not defined by who I was yesterday. I'm not defined by who I'm going to be tomorrow, but rather I'm defined in how I choose to show up and the interaction that we have right here, right now, and that intimacy, that gift of that presence. If you look back at someone who passed away, who may have transitioned of your life, that's happened to y'all. I bet it's happened to almost everybody here. God, if you can have 10 minutes of their presence right now, wouldn't you take it? Let's do that for each other here. Let's give each other those 10 minutes, those 20 minutes, those 2 hours of our presence here, and nobody can take that away. Nobody can take that away. And so this void space, how about we redefine it as a presence space? It's calling me to be present. Okay, who am I in the present? I'm not who I was yesterday. I don't have to worry about all this shit I'm letting go. I've let go. It's let go. It's gone. And if it's still here, there's an opportunity for it to be gone in the next moment through our presence. Because what we're doing is we're holding a vibrational accord, a vibrational attunement in your presence, in who you are. And that's what says what you're having relationship from the past and next. That's the invitation for all of it. But it's not in some mental outpicturing of what it was or what it shall be. It never was. But this void space, this still space, this present space, it's what's defining our tomorrow. And you know when we get to experience tomorrow? Tomorrow. And you can have hopes and visions and dreams and feeling into how you're met or how you're expanded upon or any of those senses of where we might be feeling empty now that we feel, if that came in, I would feel so much more complete or so much more hopeful, or like I had purpose. But how are you having a relationship with that now? Who are you now that has the presence to bring that in? Who can you be now that if that were to show up, you wouldn't miss it? Because you're in your presence now. You're not so busy looking around for it that it eludes you. So the void, the present space, is home. Feel it as home. Get comfortable in your own house. Relax in your own house. Kick back in your own house. Enjoy it. Decorate it. Make it a place that you want to keep visiting over and over again. Don't make it a temporary home. Transitionary. This is who you get to be and carry forward. So think of your dream house. Think of all the rooms that you want to have in it. Think of the gathering places, the meditation spaces where you sleep and dream, where you shower, all those places where you can luxuriate in the essence of you and bring those into your home now. I'm talking etherically. And of course, if you want to bring them into your real reality, create that sense of space for yourself as well. So some of y'all, I know, Carlotta, you're doing a little bit of redecorating. It's part of, oh, who am I today? And the memories and all that are wonderful. But again, as we transition through certain life events and how we've defined ourselves, sometimes we're up for makeovers. Because who we are in the present isn't how that room was typically decorated. And it's not that we don't have honor for what it was, but it's in honoring the growth of what those situations and relationships provided that we get to integrate with the energy of who we have become and allow that to blossom. And that is the greatest celebration, the past, and the greatest gift that the past can receive from us, that we've integrated through the history, we have learned, we have grown, and we're moving forward. So it's a beautiful energy to be in. Who else wants to share their experience of being in that void or in the present space as I've redefined it for today anyway? And you guys can redefine it as well. I invite it, but that's what I'm calling it for right now. Anybody else want to share?
Well, I had a challenging couple of days. And I don't
John, know.
I've been on here. Eileen would like to say thank you. She really supported me and helped me not spiral down into an old pattern and taught me how to, in the face of those moments where I had to choose, where it was really hard for me. It wasn't easy. She helped me keep me there. So she really taught me, led me more into the mastery of who I want to be.
So can you share, and you don't have to get into the specifics, but who were you forgetting that you are, that Eileen helped you remember?
It was very easy to forget that I am a divine being.
Nice.
Full of love and light and joy. Could have just gone out the window.
But what was taking you away from that? It's like, what was so difficult that we get caught in those doldrums, right?
No, it wasn't doldrums. It was a difficult situation that I was being, you know, thrown, being attacked.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, verbally constant. I mean, it not just, you know, it has been a series.
And how did you set the standard so that that wouldn't occur?
I had to shift my energy.
And how did you shift your energy?
My interior energy. Well, I had to react. I had to stop, pause, which she helped me and
beautiful
and react from love, because I was also going into a panic. You know, it was an emergency health situation.
Oh, wow.
And so I went into fear, and then I was being attacked from a few sides. So I called Eileen and she centered me. And, you know, going through a situation like that and being helped by somebody that's got the skills, which I think I do, but I've never gone this deep before or had to go to this level. I mean, other times I just said, you know, it's much easier to go back and to, you know, just say what you want to say. So.
Yeah, I think what you're illuminating for me, that's really important for the group. And I want to commend both you and Eileen for how you each showed up. And Eileen, for the gift you are for Tara. And Tara, I have to tell you, you have to realize, and I'll point it out, but in some way you were a gift for Eileen as well, where she could be in that space of clarity and all that and integrate it even more into herself in the awareness. Not that she doesn't have it, but the more we practice it, the more we master it, and the more we remember, it's like, oh yeah, this is part of me. So I want to acknowledge the gift that you were to each other in it, in so many subtle ways. But I also want to point out that how important, again, community can be. And we talk about having the answers and getting to our center and getting to our peace and knowing all these things. But we live in the world where we get discombobulated, where situations will come up and our bodies will respond, our mind will pause, and we forget those things. We don't quite know how to breathe like we do normally, and we get into the panic. I have people I reach out to. It's like, wow, this is coming up, or I'm thinking this, or I'm not quite sure what to do here, or I'm confused about this, or I feel lost. And I bounce those off of people that I trust, that I have a relationship with, that I feel are supporting in a way that feels nurturing, whether they have a judgment or anything else, perhaps, but I can feel their love and support. And in that, it helps me to create a field that I can bounce something off. I can receive love and a centeredness, and just by being held by another. If someone's just willing to say, yes, of course, I'll listen. And I can provide solutions, or I can provide my opinion, if you so choose. But again, the importance of having community like this, that in a pinch you can just reach out to. It's so huge. So again, we can talk about being in our sovereignty and the integrity of our sovereignty, but we can't really be in our sovereignty if we don't recognize it. And by reaching out to others and having it redirected back to a place of catching our breath, slowing down our mind, just calming the field down, feeling nurtured and loved and held. And in that holding, that's when the intuitment can start to happen. Because in the chaos, we're in the chaos. we're running in 100 different directions, 100 miles an hour. But again, by being in that beautiful space of that relational dynamic of being held and holding another, so much becomes possible. So thank you. Thank you, Tara, for sharing. Eileen, you were going to share?
Yeah. You know, it's funny that the things that I'm experiencing now that I've come out of this isolation, and today I had an appointment with with this gastroenterologist. And I just imploded. I absolutely imploded. And when I did, I said to myself, wow, I can't believe it took this long, because, you know, here I was basically doing everything myself and seeing very few people, to experiencing the world as it is now and as it's constantly changing. And I said to myself, you don't have to do what you did, with thinking, oh, you have to have an appointment with these doctors once a year. If you don't want to go, don't go. And I almost walked out before he came in, because I waited over an hour for him to come, not realizing that I was very early. So it wasn't his fault, but I ended up having to apologize to him and to one of the nurses. I mean, I could not sit in this room any longer. And I said, what are you doing to yourself? And I really had to have a conversation with myself and say, you don't have to do things like this anymore. This is a time of shifting. You know, it's not like it used to be, and thank God it isn't. You know, and when I came home, I said, no more of this. If I have any questions, then I'll ask. But I don't have to put myself through this anymore.
And that's putting yourself through the tests, the routines, the follow-ups.
Yeah.
That's advised.
Yeah. And what I realize is I really don't need him anyway. Because one of the things that actually got better was this acid reflux that I've had for, I don't know, 50 years or something. I don't know. Mm. But I don't have it to the degree that I used to. And so a lot of things got a little worse, and a lot of things got a lot better in isolation. Mm. So I'm still looking at what I call the in-between. And I don't know how long the in-between is going to last, but that's where I am.
Right.
And so it's just a time of questioning everything. Everything.
I think that's really important, the time of questioning, the questioning, the routines. And also, as we're questioning those things, let's get into our shadow aspect as well. As I'm questioning these things, what part of me is just fed up and tired of it and doesn't know and doesn't have the answers and hasn't received the answers, and I'm just tired of going through this process to try to search it? And as I'm reaching this decision, it's like, I don't need him. And I'm just playing with the energy that you're putting out right now, or the subject that you're bringing up, not even the energy, because I feel you carrying it very strongly in a beautiful way for you. And I love your discernment that's coming in and setting different standards, which just feels so great, Eileen. But for the sake of going into the shadow side of it, as you're sitting in the doctor's office, you're waiting, you're getting frustrated, you're kind of fuming, and you know, you've reached your end, you're about to implode. What part of you that wanted to leave the office and just forget all about it and screw him, basically, what part of that was self-sabotage, and what part of self was that discerning wisdom?
That's a good question, because I was so into those moments of what I was feeling that I felt like I went temporarily insane. Mm-hmm. And so now I can look at it and make some sense out of it. But in those moments, I actually said to the nurse, I'm leaving. And she said, look, you came an hour early with, you know, to keep, and I didn't realize I was an hour early, because yeah. I took the I took a car service, and I haven't been wearing a watch, so I didn't even know what time it was. So, and she said, you know, we're trying to keep people socially distanced, and that's why we brought you in, you know, an hour early. So she said, he's not really late, you're just early.
Exactly. So, and again, you don't have to answer it now, but whenever we're in the situations where we get to a boiling point and we're forming delineating lines of the type of relationship we're choosing to be in and not. And as we're choosing those dynamics, for example, in the doctor's office, if I leave, where is the self-sabotaging? Is it really hurting the doctor? Am I fed up at them or am I fed up at something within myself? Am I doing this from an impulse because I'm tired, I'm angry, any other things that would align with that energy? Or am I really showing up because I'm supposed to? It's part of the thing, it's a routine, I'm doing it on somebody else's agenda, I'm accommodating a schedule that's supposedly right for me. It doesn't feel right for me anymore. And I think I'm going to choose something different. The thing is, when we land on choosing something different, allow it to come from a place of love. Allow it to come in. Tara, when you got into your love, it became easier to be in your center, to be in that decision-making standpoint. And it became more clear probably how you needed to move forward. But if we're making those decisions and forming those lines in the sand, in that heightened state of being, and we think we're choosing us, in that heightened state of emotion that's separating rather than inclusive, I can tell you that you're carrying for some toxicity that's going to have residue with it. And so just pausing, even in the circumstance. Now, sometimes we have to make quick decisions. Like you're in the subway, someone pushes you out. I don't even know what example to use. Or in that circumstance of the doctor's like, no, I'm accommodating. It's like, oh, wow. I've been choosing them. I've been choosing the system that doesn't work for me anymore. I'm done doing this for myself. I'm so glad that he was an hour late because I don't have to, it helped me come to this conclusion finally. And when you can be at peace with your decision, not because you.
Yeah, but John, he even said to me that, you know, we probably could have done it with a telehealth visit and you didn't have to come in. But I didn't know that at the time, you know, and I did apologize, you know, to both the nurse and the doctor.
Well, it's funny. I think it's perfect.
Yeah. And then I said, you know, once I get out of here, I'll sort it out, you know, but I need to get, because it was such a toxic environment there that all I wanted to do was get out.
Why was it toxic there?
It's poorly run. It's, I don't know. The energy there is.
So are you frustrated at the energy there, or are you frustrated that you put yourself in an energy that was toxic?
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. But the root of it is, I'm really mad at myself. I did this to myself again. I betrayed what I know. It doesn't feel good. I didn't look for an alternative because I'm following my normal things that I'm supposed to follow according to what the guidelines are. The insurance says it has to happen. And I chose to go with the program instead of looking for something that would be more in alignment, because I thought that was the only thing that was available. And we choose relationships that way. We choose careers that way. We choose to interact with our health that way because of the way the systems are set up. And I'm not pointing the finger of you doing that. I'm just showing how we all do that in certain circumstances. And at the end of the day, when the frustration kicks in, we're really frustrated with ourselves for tolerating it more than we're frustrated with the situation. Mm-hmm. And if we can come back to that, the toxicity doesn't live as a consciousness inside of us. It releases. It's like, oh, I've been doing this. Okay. Because there's no one to blame and hold on to anger or regret or remorse for. It's like, oh, I've been perpetuating this. Okay. Good to know. And your body will react differently to it. Your mind will react differently to it. You won't try to sort out the dynamics that created the situation because you realize you created the situation. It's easy to sort yourself out.
But when you try to sort out everybody else's mind and psyche, their projections, where they're supposed to be, what their intentions are, good luck trying to figure it out. You won't ever, ever, because you can't be in
that. It's funny, after going through that very intense situation, I was grateful that the system is changing. And it needs to. And it's telling me that I don't have to do that anymore. And
exactly.
And I choose not to.
And the system's changing because of people like you. They're saying, oh, no, wait, there is a different way of doing it. And I'm going to choose that over this because this doesn't work for me anymore. And so the more people like you are saying, there's an alternative and it feels better. And my body's healthier for it. And I'm not exhausting myself trying to fit into this box that's archaic now. The better the quality and the standard of my life are going to be. So what a great situation that came up. I'm sorry you went through it, but how wonderful as well. And again, how wonderful that you went back home and just get into your own awareness of it. It's, Eileen, it's from when I first met you up to now and the different things that were running and how you just keep landing within yourself. It's just, it's wonderful to witness. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So good. All right, let's go now. Rabia, let's go to you.
Oh, hello. I was just cracking up at, well, not cracking up, Eileen's story about going to the doctor because mine was very different. I got like summoned. My doctor was like, sign up for your yearly, I don't even know what it was. Maybe it was like this asthma, sign up for this yearly. So I hit the button. It's very easy. It's on an app. And I was like, okay, I'll go. I'll get it over with in my head, I said. So, you know, I go today. And the Uber like takes a long time and I go, wow, I don't miss rushing. I like really don't miss it. And I would have gotten there 10 minutes early, but the guy kept like driving around in circles and I ended up being a little late and I decided I'm not gonna call him in panic. I'm just gonna go. And so I showed up and I went in and the place looks like the lobby of West Elm, which I really like. And it's like super, and it's like a Swiss train station. It's like, you never wait, you go in, they're really nice. And the woman's kind of like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I don't know, I got summoned. And she's like, have a seat. What's going on? This, that. And basically she kind of was like, you don't really need this, do you? And I was like, no, I don't really need this. You don't really have asthma anymore. I'm like, not really. She's like, you're fine. You're fine. Okay, bye. And I left. And it was the funniest thing. It was like, we both agreed if there's anything really serious, I'll come back, but I didn't really need it. So I was like, okay. Then I went to West Elm and bought some fun things and that was that. But before you were talking, so it's just interesting, different experiences. But you were talking about, I guess, limitations and things and redecorating actually.
Mm.
I have a kitchen that's really old. It's been there since my mom moved into this apartment. It's always been kind of gross, actually quite. And I never liked being in the kitchen. I do like to cook, but it's like the cabinets were old, everything was old. And this is sort of gross, but anyway, this construction next door and I got this bug problem. Not fun. So it kept getting kind of worse and worse. And I was like living with it and it didn't get any better. But the main thing that was interesting was I couldn't see my way out of it. I was just like, I was saying things like, this is never going to go away. This isn't going to get any better. Like I couldn't see past this situation. And then I called the super and I said, just demolish that old thing. And I basically renovated the entire kitchen.
Hmm.
And no, it's not Oprah's kitchen. However, it's completely transformed. And in ways that I could not have imagined, I did the little processes and steps and got it. I'm like 95% done. It doesn't even look like the same room.
Hmm.
And I feel so much lighter and better. And now they're almost all gone. I'm getting a green exterminator on Thursday. But what I remember standing there feeling like a sense of limitation previously, where I maybe was invested in not seeing beyond that place. And then I just stopped focused and stopped seeing beyond that place and just decided to take action. And things just, it was like a piece of magic. Now it just looks totally different. I mean, it's like something from HGTV. It's like the before and after.
And I was going to say that it's, we can look at the limitation, but let's call it a blind spot. Let's just call it what it is. It's just a blind spot. You didn't know that that room can look like something else. You couldn't see beyond your current perspective of what it's been for you historically as you've been there. And there was something that was wanting to be transformed, but you had been with it for so long that you just couldn't see beyond what it might be able to become.
Oddly attached to it in a strange way, like what, a cabinet? Because I moved it when I was in eighth grade. My mom got divorced and we moved, and it had always been there. And because it had always been there, it was always there.
I paid for storage for 4 years in Houston, Texas, for a cabinet that I purchased for $200 that I loved. So this $200 cabinet, it was an antique cabinet, and I got it on sale. It was like this great find. It was probably worth like $5,000. But by the time I stored it and did all these other things, I'd spend so much more money holding on to something that really wasn't mine anymore. And it's something else
And now looking back, you know, having come on the other side of it, I mean, I know it sounds like it's just a renovation, but it really was about being attached to, it wasn't even about digging, like, oh, I want to dig and see what this is like. No, it was just, yeah, a blind spot. Like I literally could not envision, I couldn't see past what I was looking at.
So this is great. This is like a dream state for me. I want to interrupt because are there things in your life that you just feel that you're kind of stuck in right now? Just like, this is just the way it's going to be. And explore that. You don't have to have the answer to that right now. But look, are there things in my life that, okay, this is just the way it is. This is just the way it's like, okay. And that you kind of cope with it and it's functional. And it's like, but if you're to walk into West Elm, you go, oh my God, look how beautiful it is. So if you were to walk into the equivalent of West Elm, of that area of your life, what would it look like? Because you love West Elm, but you weren't carrying that into the awareness of the living space that you had. So in any other circumstance in your life, it could be in your career or in your relationship, it's like, this is the way it is now, and that's just the way it is, and that's where the cabinet is, and yeah, it's got old knobs that I don't like anymore, and I can kind of put my coffee maker in it, but my coffee maker is new, and the cabinet's from 20 years ago that doesn't quite fit. Where do we do that in our lives to ourselves, and don't believe that we can continue to evolve, or don't even have the awareness?
In some ways, it's almost like mastery and service to what I'm here to do in a big way, because it's like, if you've created a very nice situation, it then becomes for me one of like, this is really pretty, let's keep it this way and don't rock the boat, don't expand further. And so it becomes a protective kind of experience, which I don't know. So I say I want to expand, but in reality, I usually just like keeping the pretty room pretty, like in some way I'm invested in that. So I don't expand that much in some ways, because I spent so long, like 20 years digging and fishing and expanding and, you know, like, and frankly, the whole thing's just fucking exhausting. I mean, and there's things I'm questioning about the new age, all the verbiage and all the stuff. And I'm like, part of me just doesn't want to go back to that.
It's shifting. It's all it's all changing. I want you to become very Buddhist and attached to nothing. Attached to nothing. And allow the beauty to evolve. Let it be beautiful. Enjoy the beauty and wonder what the next iteration may show up as. And you could have done this kitchen now. And if you have the finances and you want to redo it a year from now or so, it's like, but this can be this, and or put new fabrics in or whatever it is. allow yourself the flow of beauty to inspire you instead of the limitation of what beauty, how is defined in a particular moment, and now it can't continue to grow past that. And so I have a lot of friends who are authors, and I've experienced coaching a few of them through their writing experience. And they finish writing their chapters and they go, okay, here's my 15, 18 chapters, and it's done. And then they send it off to the editor and they're so attached into it, but it's the energetic and these words mean something and I have to switch this. And it's like, it's so difficult for them to let go. And I always point them out to what Ernest Hemingway gave as advice to writers. It's like, write your book, put it out there. And when you're done, throw it in the trash because your first draft is always crap. But we're so tied to it. We're so tied to it. And it wants your beauty, your creation, those things that we hold on to. When we think we've landed in this pristine place, want to evolve with you. They want to show you another version of beauty that's possible. They want to gift you another essence. And so again, in our careers, in our relational dynamics with loved ones, intimate partner or family, in our relationship with money, in our relationship with health, where is it really good? Where is it really good? And then we just want to hold on to it right there so tightly, because if that leaves us, if that rocks for any reason, it may become unsafe. But in those places that are really good, really look at it and go, this is beautiful. And how can I show up and make it even better? And so rather than taking even those things that aren't working that maybe we can't see because we're so ingrained in the habit and the comfort of the habit, maybe we can look at the things that really are working. It's like, wow, this is amazing. And I'm so grateful for this. It can be as easy as the mug of coffee, the mug that you drink your coffee of in the morning, or your house, or your relationship with your pet, or with a partner, or with your career, whatever it is, whatever it happens to be. Look at something that's working really well right now, even your own personal development. If that's something that you're passionate and focused about, and it's bringing you light, it's bringing you this vibrancy, this is good. I wonder how I can make it better. Not for the sake of proving something or ingrating something, but providing love, of providing beauty to it. Not from a linear perspective, but that poetry that's stemming from you, that song that wants to keep evolving. If this is good, how can I show up? What can I learn? What can I bring into it? What can I play with? Knowing that if I play with it, this thing, it's the dynamic's going to shift. But I'm okay with that because I know how I'm approaching it. I'm already in gratitude and in appreciation of it. I'm acknowledging the relationship or that work project or whatever for what it is. And I just want to contribute even more to it because it's contributing to me. How can I show up in that energy for something that's already expanding and bring even more light, more love into it, and playfulness and joy and gratitude? So we don't always have to know where those blind spots are. We can look for transformation in those places where the light and the love are. And that will invite other aspects of our life where perhaps those blind spots may be, to move with a momentum that wouldn't be possible because we're carrying a stream of consciousness. That river is flowing so much more strongly because we're adding rather than taking away from what's flowing to try to find, point the spotlight at something that we can't quite find or focus on. And it's depleting this love. We're taking presence away from where we can be for the sake of searching this expedition. If something doesn't feel right, so I'm gonna uncover it. I'm gonna let that uncover itself. I'm gonna give my energy here. I'm gonna be a builder of a dynamic of energy. I'm gonna architect beauty rather than focus on those things that I've been looking for a long time and I just can't find. So you know what, I'm gonna stop looking for that and I'm gonna put my attention here. And that's where your presence becomes a really focused alchemy for your next creation. Obviously.
Yeah. I feel like I have so much that's beautiful, you know, all the in my world all the time.
I just tend to not see bigger even, like, you know, so that's that. Yeah. So that.
And the first part of seeing perhaps in a more expanded way is by bringing gratitude to it, right? It's like, oh my God, it's so wonderful to laugh. Oh my God, so, you know, there's people suffering and I'm over here having a great time. Not that I'm disempowering them or saying that they're wrong, rather, I'm so grateful for what I have. It's like, wow. And even being in the gratefulness, the gratitude of that is creating the flow. So you're not blind to everything that's so good to you, and glimpsing the gratitude, the energy that you output, your laughter, your joy, the way you approach those places where you're so prosperous is just being augmented and magnetized because you're bringing attention to it. You're bringing your presence to it. You're aware. It's not like this thing that you're aloof about. And I wouldn't say that you are, but I think you're bringing more mastery of your awareness into it. And it's going to create a vibrational flow that's going to keep expanding to meet in that abundance that you're creating. So again,
because this year, I think I can't speak for others, but I feel as though collectively everyone's had like a nervous system reset. Like I didn't realize the busy world thing, how much I didn't question, you know, this is what you did. You got up, you ran around, you went to the office, you did whatever it was, right? And you just, and now almost most people I meet and talk to, the thought of just being that busy in that way is foreign and they don't want to do it anymore. And I find that a fascinating. So
are you finding that you're getting more work done in less time? Like you're much more productive, but you have a lot more free time?
Yes, but I'm also feeling very much like the thing that I was seeking for the few years before this pandemic. I kept saying, oh, I had to go, I don't know, it was like fly to Nepal, go here, go there, because I was really seeking centeredness that this pandemic has kind of given me. And it was myself. I was looking for myself. I was looking for empowerment from the center of me, which, who knows, if no, but at least I can recognize that that's what it was or what it is, and kind of work, move from there.
Have you read The Alchemist by Pablo Coelho?
A long time ago.
Yeah, it's the essence of the story of seeking and treasures and wisdom and knowledge everywhere else, and the treasures buried right underneath your own house.
From a very sort of centered and quiet place that has just changed my whole perspective about hustle, and I mean hustle and speed, that kind of, and quickness and all of that stuff. And I think that that's a huge gift for all of us in the world, you know, because I think we all needed to experience that if we're going to get to the next dimension.
Well, we needed to experience it for various reasons. And yes, finding the center of ourselves, but we also had to realize where we are being disenfranchised by information, consumerism, by media that had us hustling in all these different places, reaching some type of utopia outside of ourselves. And we're realizing by slowing down that those things that have been propagated that would mean that we would be happy, satisfied, fulfilled, received, loved, well, really all a product of good branding and consumerism. Truly, right. Truly, for a lot of people, and of trying to survive and of comparison. And again, this time of attunement and integration and feeling our own emotions, as chaotic and as painful as it has been for many of us in different ways, it's led us back into slowing down where we're no longer as defined by those outside sources as we defined ourselves to be by those sources. We weren't evaluating who we were based on how we achieved the metrics that was set out by something or someone else that we brought into. And we're slowly but surely realizing that there's much more to us than standards that have been dictated to us by others.
religion schools, you know, the commercialism, all of that.
Having to go to the doctor because they call you, or Eileen, yeah. Whatever.
No, I feel healthy. That's wonderful, Rabia. Enjoy your kitchen. Send pictures.
Oh, well, thanks.
Send pictures. I want to see it. So cool. Thanks for calling in. All right, let's go. Alyssa, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can. It's good to see you.
Okay. It's good to see you guys too. I've kind of fallen off the map for 2 months, and I owe a couple of people an apology on the call because I have. But anyway, there's a reason for that. You're talking about the chaos and all that, and I tend to completely shut down in chaos. I and it scares me.
Got her. Thanks. Yeah, you're thanks. Welcome.
because I feel like when I'm in that state that I'm falling back into who I used to be, and I don't like it. I don't like it. There's been a lot of really intense situations going on in the past 2 months, and I was in a deep depression for quite a few weeks, and in bed. And when I'm in that, I haven't been in that state in years. And so when I was, I just felt like, am I gonna come out of it again? You know, like, am I here stuck forever again? And this scares me. But so I need to figure that out. And I feel like everything goes out the window, you know?
Yeah, makes sense. Can I ask you a question? This happened a couple of months ago, or maybe it started three months ago.
Well, it started about 2 months ago, and then it was just like one event after another, but they're not like little events. And the kickoff was what sent me into bed for a few weeks was my sister literally died in my car while I was driving, and I had to give her CPR and bring her back to life. And
oh, wow.
What I couldn't figure out was, why am I so depressed? Like, it all worked out. Why am I so depressed? Like, it hit me really hard. And when I shut down, I turn my phone off. I don't answer calls. I don't do anything. And it's not good.
When's the last time you had an episode of that depression show up?
Before this time?
Yes.
It's been a couple of years.
A couple of years ago when it showed up, how long did it last?
If I would be in bed, it would be about a week on average.
And this one lasted a couple of months. So this one was a big wave.
Yeah, well, I was in bed for probably about 2 weeks, and then other stuff was going on, like major stuff. And then I had my first Moderna shot, and I was literally sleeping 20 hours a day for 16 days. And I'm glad I'm over that. I kind of started just feeling normal or more like myself in the past week. I mean, overall, because since everything has happened. But it's been nuts.
Yeah, it's and I'm so sorry that you've gone through that and into that slump. And for me, it feels much more, yes, a big emotional one, lots of things coming to light, including your own mortality and your sister's, because being down for the count from a shot like that, it's like you have to, am I ever going to get better, or am I sick? All these stories you hear on the news, you know, people are going to die, not going to die. So there's the conscious and subconscious, like, tuning into your own mortality and what's happening. And then to have that happen with your sister is no small thing, Alyssa.
No, I know.
And to bring her back. So I have so much compassion and love for you. And I hold you in that. And
thank you.
Yeah, I would invite you next time that comes up to, even being in the call or even asking, hey, I'm in the depression. I don't know what to say. I typically shut myself down, and here I am. I don't really have a question, but just send me your love. And even just asking for that.
No, it's not about knowing. It's an invitation for you. For a way of doing it differently next time, where you can feel that there's support in a way that perhaps we're not used to receiving. Me too. I tend to isolate. If I'm not feeling well and all this, for me to receive when I'm in a state that I just don't want to bother anybody, or supposedly anybody bother me, when I receive authentic support from someone that I can feel that's being authentic in the way they're showing up, not needy, but really supporting. It's like, I just want to cry when I'm in that state. It's been a long time, but it's just receiving from that congruent space it's such a gift. And again, this is just an invitation that if it feels in alignment for you, if that comes up again, to know and to remember that there's a place that will even just say, hey, we love you, we'll hold you, and we'll say your prayer for you. Even just receiving that, it's big. And there's something in the nervous system that relaxes in that. And this seems to be something chemical happening. When you mentioned the vaccine, and I won't blame it on the vaccine, but an interaction in the physical makeup of your chemistry, of how your body's wired to receive, that it's not about you being wrong and not knowing, or I can't say not knowing, but having compassion or the awareness that my body isn't wired in this way. And I'm in this state that's taken me of where I would consider optimal by far. And I'm going to give my body and my mind the break because it's receiving something that feels toxic to it and it just wants to escape. And so, all right, body, mind, depression, I love you. It's confusing right now. We've gone through this before. And I'm going to hold you in this place. I'll get confused sometimes as well. But when I remember, I'll come back and I'm going to love you in the way that perhaps I didn't know how to before, or nobody else knew how to either. And just allowing your nervous system and your mind and your body to receive that from you, to make the choices to receive it from others that feel perhaps congruent, even if it's just in small increments. And allow yourself just those little breaths, those little sips of air that can relieve that depression, even if it's just for a couple of seconds more than you would have otherwise. It starts building blocks of how you're nurtured and how you receive self-love and love from others, how you can feel compassion from others in a way that doesn't feel like it's transactional. Like if I receive from you, then I have to give something, or I have to be responsible, or I don't deserve to receive from you because I didn't do anything. How am I going to pay you back? And I tell you, from an authentic space, there's no having to give back. There's just you just being. And like Eileen was a gift for Tara, and Tara was a gift for Eileen. Sometimes you're asking and giving us permission to give in that way is a tremendous gift for us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Sending you so much love. And I'm so glad you're back.
Thanks.
And will you be here next week?
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. That's your commitment. That's your promise to me. I expect to see you here. Awesome. Thanks, Alyssa.
Thanks, John.
All right. Love you.
Love you too.
Pierina, hi.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you. I like your background.
Yeah, San Francisco. Better than the boring and white that I had before. You know, I started off having a great week up until today.
Oh, shit, Pierina, it's only Tuesday.
So like last time I saw you, since the last time we talked, I was flying high. And then today, one of the yoga studio I teach at, the owners wrote like a post saying, you know, why don't we do something to help India and blah, 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 with the whole COVID, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what would you like to donate? Like, this, you know, would be a donation kind of class or whatever. And I thought, well, I can donate a yoga class, but why don't I do something more helpful? Like, you know, donate a session, right? And so I said that I've helped heal 3 COVID people. Helped, I didn't say I helped. And then I got a whole long email from the owner saying that is irresponsible and is representative of the studio. We shouldn't do that. It's triggering for people, especially in India who have COVID. I'm thinking, I can help, you know, like why? I don't understand why I'm being slammed down. So it's like, what's the point of being able to do this if I can't even share, if I can't even help people? I just feel like giving it up for good, like literally. I just, all these years in the making for nothing. Anyway.
Oh, well, hold on a second. And again, so who's speaking right now? How old are you? I know, but we're going to get into this.
And it's a little girl, but.
Yeah. Oh, no, not but. It's okay. The little girl's speaking.
I know.
All right. We love her because it's like, but why? Why do this? It's like, no one's receiving me. No one understands. Right. And let's
acknowledge. But it felt so good last week. Like I didn't care. And I was feeling amazing. And now this little thing, I get tripped again and slammed down. It's like.
But it's not a little thing. And that little girl feels hurt. And you feel hurt. And so it's like, hold on a second. How can I not be understood? They don't understand my love and what I'm trying to give. And they're saying it's not valuable, that it's irresponsible, that it's too much, that people are gonna judge it. And what if you're not defined by your healing?
But I can offer some help. I know I can. Like I've seen, I've witnessed it on the computer live. Like I know.
So again, you say for what? And I tell you, because you know. But that doesn't mean that everybody has to receive our love just because we know we can love.
But if people are dying and everyone needs help, like it's like, hello. You know,
yeah, but your yoga studio isn't the only outlet to reach out to India for help.
No, I know, but I have. I posted it on my page and I've been slammed down by someone as well that I've known for a long time. You shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be writing that down. Well, you know, it's going to be triggering for people. How is it triggering? If I can help people,
It's triggering you.
I know. This is what pisses me off. It's like, I'm trying to help. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I just feel I was wasted a lot of time, energy, training, a lot of money, and just for nothing, like nothing.
Is it for nothing? Do you?
Yeah, it is, because.
I'll get into the book writing just as one example. So y'all remember Hans King from Beyond the Ordinary, or a lot of y'all perhaps do.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
You know, Hans, amazing friend, just such a beautiful soul. And he got connected with a publisher. I helped him connect with someone in Simon & Schuster, and they signed him. They sent him in advance. He was excited. This is his life dream to fulfill his dad's wish that he write his book and get known out in the world. And he was turning in his edited manuscript. It was ready to go. And they chose the cover. And he was getting excited, and it was going to print. And he called me in a panic, John, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. We're supposed to start marketing, we're supposed to start doing this, supposed to start doing that. They're not really helping the marketing like they promised. It's supposed to be a bestseller, it's supposed to get big in the world, it's supposed to do all these things. And I stopped and I go, Hans, why'd you write the book? Because I was called to. I wanted to do it for my father. I wanted it to change people or to provide hope or insight. I wanted it to be impactful. To change other people's lives. I go, and is that what you've put into your work? Well, yes. And was that your intention? Yes. And is the book going out into the world? Yes. Is it filled with your love and your wisdom and your light and how you carry people in sessions and how you've been on my show? Absolutely, yes. is it an emanence of your love? Absolutely, without a doubt. And you've put it out into the world like you've promised, like you promised your guides you were going to. Yes, without a doubt. And well, from here on out, it's none of your business. It's none of your business who receives it, who says yes to it or no. It's the intention in which you put it on, out there with. It's the essence that you put into your work. And if one person receives it and their life is transformed, or 10 million people receive it and their life is transformed, it is no longer any of your business. You can't control how other people receive you. You can only put your love out and allow people to be attracted to it, to see the light of it, to say yes to it. So if you change one person, if you affect one person with your work, your job's complete, but you wrote the book for you. And remember that. You did this work for you, Pierina. And you know that you've changed two people's lives with it, probably more than you than you're aware of.
Three, for with COVID, but yeah.
Three, and probably more than you're aware of with other things. And probably not just COVID, but other things for those three people. So why did you do that? What ripple effects will they have in the world that you're not aware of? What if that's all you were supposed to do with it? And what if it's so much more? But this holding on to, I know I can do something. I know I can change it. I know,
yeah, I
know.
But I feel like every time I try, I just get slammed down. So I just feel like, well, forget it then. I'm packing up and that's it.
And let's speak to the little girl now who's talking. And have you been slammed down every time?
Every time I've announced COVID, yeah, for sure.
I don't think you were slammed down by those three clients who you helped heal.
No.
No, so you
have every time slammed. I posted to help people, to offer, but, to tell people.
But you're negating part of the positive aspect that I want you to imprint by arguing that yes, but no, or no, but yes. I really want us to land into the gift that you've been for those three people. Have you gotten testimonials from those people?
From one, for sure. One was my brother. He doesn't even, he's not sure because he wasn't aware I did it virtually.
Okay.
But he, I know that that night his fever broke. I know he said the next day, he said, I woke up back to normal.
Okay, like, but let's get into the other people who do know. Have you received testimonials from them?
Yeah, she even wrote down on my page right after that. She said she got her sense of smell back after the hour. Her breathing went back to normal. I witnessed it on the call.
Amazing. So your job as a steward of a gift is to keep broadcasting it and not have an expectation that it has to be received, to make it accessible.
But if, you know,
if I'm going to, this is with a lot of love and this is for all of us. And I've learned this through getting slammed in different ways. A healer with an ego will not create the healing that is possible, but a healer with innocence and not knowing and not having the expectations will heal so much more than what they think that they're healing. Whenever I've gone in with particular intention and wanting a specific outcome and it had to be this particular way, I'd get slammed continuously. It just happened and it was uncomfortable. Why am I not being received? And I'm misunderstood. Nobody gets me and I don't fit in and I can't communicate properly and blah, 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 blah. I'm sure, I know you can relate to all those things that I've experienced and more. When I let go of the audience size I had to get or how many private clients I had to do or how I could be received in certain circles, why were they more popular than I was? How do I get there? What website do I need to create? What numbers do I need to have? And all these performance indicators and barometers for a recipe for success didn't work for me. It was out of my integrity. I can't manipulate outcome for the sake of my ego. It's like why I can't go to Vegas. I lose every time if I try to win money. If I go and just to play and have fun, I can win all day long. But I start getting into my mind and I lose everything really quickly. because I'm trying to manipulate a certain thing. And there's a breathing into, it's like, okay, I felt good last week. What was bringing in last week that felt so good? Last week, you didn't care so much. Last week's like, oh, okay, I get it now. This week, oh, it's happened again, and here we go. And I'm being slammed again. I'm being rejected. People don't get me. I'm being told that I'm wrong. I'm being shamed. Right? Ooh, shame. Shame doesn't feel good right now. Wow. Okay. I'm being shamed. Let me feel into that one for a second and screw them. Right? Let's go. Okay. Why am I allowing their projection of shame that they're afraid that I'm saying something that's going to upset other people? You're not afraid of it. You're picking up on their fear that you're going to say something that's going to reflect upon them that then they have to be shameful for because it's their own shame. That's where they are in their consciousness. Don't allow someone that's in a consciousness that you no longer live in to bring you back into a house that you left a long time ago. Oh, they're living in that house of shame and they're trying to bring me back into it. They invited me to kind of play in that house, but they want me to, you know, drink out of that faucet. Screw that. Thank you for the invitation, but I think I'm going to go to this other house that supports me so much better.
And so, where are those houses? That's the thing. Well, you know,
you have to keep looking in alignment. And so they didn't receive that. What will they receive? And you can, if you choose to, you can play in what will they receive and meet them in that, knowing that that's a contributive energy that's regenerative for you because you're giving of service.
I don't even want to share my gifts with them. I don't even want to.
Well, and that's a great point of also setting a standard where, you know what, I'm really done trying to fit into this box. And last week you were saying, I'm done trying to fit into that box. But this week you tried to fit into that box again and you're feeling the repercussions of trying to squeeze yourself in.
Just trying to help.
But you tried to squeeze into that box that you said you didn't care about anymore. It's like, oh, the reflection of my own limitations. And I think this is, I feel that one of the aspects, not all of it, but one of the aspects of this coming up again, Fiorina, and I know the other houses may not be showing up right now, but sometimes they wind up showing up after we just let go of the other ones that don't fit us anymore. And this perhaps is one of those dynamics where this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's like, I'm not doing it that way anymore. I'm going to be aware of who I'm playing with and how I'm having relationship and choosing a different dynamic. No more trying to pull people up, trying to meet me where I believe I am. Instead, I'll invite people who I can see are reflective of where I'm choosing to be. And I can invite a different level of intimacy that hasn't been accessible to me before because I kept trying to squeeze myself in through that door. And so see this really, it's like, I really need to let this go, of them go, of having expectations from them, expecting to be met by them, expecting to be understood. Can it be a yoga place where I can work, have clients, receive some type of income if that's what's happening? Great, I'll take it for that, but I'm not going to try to make it more than what it is. Because you're calling something new in, and you're not going to call the new in by repeating, expecting them to change, no matter what the cause. It's just not going to. If they happen to meet you where you are, awesome. Hey, I can offer this class. You don't have to receive it. Here we go. Nope, you don't do it. It's just a no. All right, cool. Easy peasy. And I'm sorry, it's painful and it hurts and it's disheartening. But your love is waiting to be received in other places, Fiorina. I know.
I just wish those doors would open. Like,
I know, yeah. I know. But again, stop chasing those other doors. And not that you were chasing them, but they showed up and I just couldn't meet you.
But should I just have not have offered? Then I would have felt guilty for not have offering my help if they're looking for assistance. Now I'm reading it again. I'm like, what are you going to offer them? Like a yoga class? What's it going to, for who? Like, who's going to actually benefit from that? Is that going to really benefit India? Like, in the COVID situation? Like,
the $120 that get earned through that class gets donated to India. And $120 in India goes a long way. So will people benefit from that? And will you have gifted something? In the best way that you could in that circumstance, probably. I know you want to make impact in a big way and save people's lives and that you feel that you can, but this isn't the vehicle for it. And that became apparent. So it's like, okay. And it's not the same impact that you know that you can make, but still, and you can just say, okay, no. But your impact, your love, I will call it your impact. Your love is wanting to be felt in other places, and you're clearing the field. You're clearing the field. Remember what you said last week and come back and listen to the conversation last week of where you were so clear that you were done with those dynamics.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It was different today because I was felt like I was standing in a new place. But if obviously I wasn't then, if I created the same thing.
No, you are standing in it and you got to witness it and it wobbled you just to remind you again. And how wonderful that this is coming up because there's still that energy and the sensitivity. The little girl who feels abandoned, rejected, left alone, not understood, alone. She's still there. So it came up as, look, I'm still here. This stuff hurts. I haven't overcome it. I'm learning how to integrate it, because one of the things that happens as we move through different aspects of our personality and our sensitivities is that we think that we've overcome it. It's not that we've overcome it, is that we've attuned to it in a place where we're holding it in a way that we don't leave ourselves from our empathy, from our compassion, from our feeling. But we become more aware that there's more parts of us to hold us than were there before. And so the sensitivities may arise, but we recognize it and we give honor to it. And we love that little girl. It's like, and I got you. I got you. And I know it's painful and I know it hurts, but like I spoke with Tara earlier, you know, those uncomfortable situations are part of the balance, letting us know where we're off, letting us know where we're not received. Because us coming into a situation and overriding those places or circumstances or people that make us feel less than, and we're just carrying a vibration, so no matter what they throw at us, doesn't matter. Well, it does, because those little pokes start hurting after a while. They just do. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how strong you are. And so it's being aware of the environments that we immerse ourselves in so that we're not poked all the time or at all. That we're hugged into situations, not picked on or picked apart. And so again, it's not about getting stronger than. It's about realizing that all aspects of you have value. That you deserve to be loved, that you deserve to be seen and acknowledged, and not everybody can acknowledge and see you at the same time, but that there has to be a field where that can be nurtured, or that there is room for that, so that you don't feel like you have to leave any of your aspects behind. It's not overcoming, it's integrating. So you don't have to be stronger than the poke. You just have to be aware that the poking is going on and choose to be somewhere else where that's not happening, because that's not in your highest good. That's not loving for yourself. And I truly believe that's what's coming into focus. So get back into your feeling strong. You'll get back to it. Come back again, listen to last week's call and just get into that place and feel the energy of where you were. And invite that back in and bring Pierina, the sensitive one, into that space, but acknowledging the gift of her sensitivity in the flow of what she was bringing in last time and the wisdom that you have now, that none of you gets left. You all come along. And this, you're forming the basis and the foundation for relationships in your life, Birina, where you don't have to struggle or hold on tightly to a particular way that you think you have to be received, but that you're received for all that you are. Whether you think you've integrated those pieces or you think that you've grown in new places or not, where all of you gets to come into it and it feels safe, and it feels alive, it feels nurturing. And it sparks that safety, that nurturance, that maturation provides a field that's so fertile for who you're becoming. Trying to be something for other people, it's not fertile ground. We're depleting ourselves over and over again. Those nutrients get zapped and then nothing grows. Then nothing grows. So it doesn't serve. Oh, sending you so much love, Pierina.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, guys, we're running in 90 minutes today. Mary, I'm going to catch you on the next call if that's okay, or if something's really pressing. Will you write it to support and I'll respond?
Absolutely. I'm fine. Thanks, John. No worries. Okay.
Thank you, Mary.
Love you.
Mm-hmm. I love you too. And y'all, again, just the stillness is presence. Beauty in a be presence. Tara, your presence. Patricia, hello. Your presence in the unknown. It's actually, there's nothing more known than your presence. You know what you know, and they're right here, they're right now. Ah, swim in those waters. Go into what you know. Again, use what you have and more will be given. Know your intention. Be excited about what you're choosing to be excited about. If you don't know, you're in a state of wobble. Just acknowledge, wow, in my present moment, I'm in a state of wobble. And just breathe compassion and love into that. Knowing that the clarity has always arrived somehow. Every part of your life, wherever there was discomfort, wherever there was that uneasiness, the shakiness in your life, somehow the other side of it managed to show up. It always did. It always did. So trust that. Y'all are all old enough to have gone through enough of those that you can trust the other side of it. You've been there, you've done it, and you're so much stronger, so much more wise, so much more loving and self-compassionate. You all have this, and you have support. You can reach out here in the community, reach out to each other. Tara, oh my God, Eileen, you guys reaching out to each other is such a gift, such a great example of what's here. And if you have a question, again, type it into support or type it into the Facebook group. And y'all reply to one another, and I'll go in and try to share as much as I can as well. And again, we'll support each other into this new creative phase of discovering who we are now and what that might mean for what's unfolding tomorrow. So I love y'all so much. Thank you so much for the way that y'all show up. And I look forward to seeing y'all next week. Take care.
Love and blessings.
Love you. Thank you.
Love you too.
Thanks, John. Night, everybody.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody. Nice. Blessings.
Thank you, guys. Blessings.
Love you, baby. Bye-bye.
Night.